right. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here. That is Jake Vevra, stand-up comedian in New York City. I am Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City. So much to talk about. Let's start with the very last thing I sent you. I didn't even send you a link, but Sports Illustrated may be going under. They laid off almost all their staff. I think they're looking for a rescue. Did you look any of it up?
I have not, but all I know is that print magazine is set to make a comeback anytime. So I say just kind of hold steady. It's going to be fine.
This is what we were talking about. I think, was it last week maybe? Now is the time to buy stock in Sports Illustrated. Buy low, and then when print makes a comeback, we'll be rich, all of us.
That's right.
No, I did look up one thing. The instant they said Sports Illustrated was laying people off, my mind went somewhere. I had a thought. I went, ooh. And then I jumped online, and I hate to say it, but it was not an original thought. It was the thought everyone was having. They're all saying, oh, go woke, go broke. And so I did a little digging. At one point, the swimsuit issue brought in an estimated $35 million in ad sales at its peak. But it is easily the number, it used to be the number one selling. The instant you start trying to cater to people who do not buy your magazine, when you tell, hey, ladies, you're all beautiful the way you are, let's make an issue for the late. It was a spank bank magazine. Guys bought it because they wanted to jerk off to hot women. I'm not saying it's appropriate, but I'm just saying it is what it is. And when you lose your biggest selling issue, I'm sure someone's going to figure it out the numbers, but that probably did not help at all.
I see what you're saying, but I don't really view that as just some move that they made that totally fucked them over, even though everything was going great. It wasn't great. That to me seems like a move out of desperation because, like you said,
yeah,
used to be a spank bank magazine. You know when the golden age for spank bank magazines were? Before I could take this internet. Phone and get the craziest fucking porn I could imagine on my phone. I can, like, anybody who's paying Sports Illustrated $10 to go, oh, it's a lady in a bikini. Like, if I showed them what my phone did, their fucking brains would explode. Their head would explode like the people at the end of Total Recall that went strolling out on the sands of Mars without a helmet.
Yes. No, I hear you. It's one of those things where it nail in the coffin. Like, what? And I'm sure it's all online anyway. I'm sure they're online in all their articles. So it's not, there's not a one-to-one correlation. Oh,
they're idiots saying go woke, go broke. They were already going broke. They went broke. out of an act of desperation that somehow they would be seen as this kind of
progressive. Now women will start reading about baseball.
Of women feeling good about themselves. I don't know what, but doing what they were doing, staying the same course, was gradually losing them money every year. It's not, I mean, go woke, go broke is what you would say about a company like, I don't know, Bud Light, who, again, I think people that got mad about Dylan Mulvaney were shitheads, but like, they were still selling a lot of beer, and then they lost a lot of beer sales as a result of this. This ship was already fucking crashed, and they're on a desert island trying to whittle together a raft, and one of the raft had chubby girls on it. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. That's kind of what was going on there. The ship had already fucking crashed. They were already drawing straws to see who was getting eaten next to stay alive.
I was going to say, now you're mixing metaphors. That's a plane crash, and the Andes is eating people. The shock.
Nah, I just watched a pirate ship movie where they did it too.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying, look, either way, it combined tragedies. What it was is it was a shipwreck on an island combined with a plane wreck in the end.
A plane really crashed into the ship near shore, and they all swam to the island and ate each other.
Pretty much. That's what happened to the print magazine industry over the last 20 years. Yeah. is a cannibalism plane crash and a cannibalism pirate ship crash. All together in one big fiery, snow-filled, sandy fucking shit bucket.
And if we have anyone that watches us in Hollywood, that's our movie pitch. The plane crashing into the ship and everybody eating one another. That's our pitch. You can make that film. We want producer credits.
We're going down. Ooh, I know. Let's try to land on that ship like a runway, like an aircraft carrier. Oh, no, it's a pirate ship from the 1700s. Shit, we just broke both vessels.
They're both dead in the water. Well, is there barbecue sauce in the little thing, the I want to say stewardess, but that's politically incorrect. Flight attendant, is there barbecue? I was trying to make a barbecue sauce joke. It's over. All right, moving on.
Yeah. No, the chubby girls from the Sports Illustrated issue ate all the barbecue sauce day one. They're going no seasoning on these
empty
on these
calories. That's why they're chubby. Yep. Oh, we're getting canceled for so many reasons now.
The empty calories make them body positive. That's the where we're going woke on this podcast. That's what we're doing.
Yes. Well, since we're pissing people off, let's piss off the Swifties. I've said on this podcast, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. She was my number one artist on Spotify last year when I got my year-end wrapped. It said, you listen to Taylor Swift the most. I took my daughter to the movie. I am a Taylor Swift fan. But I'm not a Swiftie because goddamn are they insane. Taylor Swift fans think Eminem's warm reception at an NFL game reeks of hypocrisy. So, Jake, your Lions kicked ass last week. They won.
They're going to kick ass today at 3:00.
Yes, they are. Hopefully. I'm rooting for them now that my Packers are gone. I'm all Lions. I'm team Lions through the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was rough. I saw the last few minutes of that one last week.
I listened to it on my drive home. Just take the points. The kicker missed. Long story.
Yeah. But anyway. Then again, like, dude, you can't blame the kicker. It was a 40-yard kick in a fucking rainstorm.
But they should have taken the first one where they went on fourth and didn't get it. That would have been points. Anyway. Yeah. Hey, Swifties. First of all, it is not Taylor's fault that the cameras cut to her. It is not her fault. However, saying that Taylor Swift, someone that never mentioned football in her life and then started dating a football player and goes to that player's games, is the equivalent of Eminem, a lifelong diehard Lions fan, showing up to show support for his team and introduce. There's a big difference. You can't say, oh, they don't like cutting to Taylor Swift. She's a Johnny come lately. And there's nothing wrong with her doing it. It's not her fault they get cut.
No, through. I think it's good for the sport. I don't understand why people.
I don't mind her getting cut through, but you can't say that an audience that cheers Eminem in his hometown, like she's not from Kansas City. This is a hometown boy cheering for his hometown team. You can't say, of course, the audience is going to go nuts. They're like, hey, he's one of us. There's nothing wrong with a Taylor showing up and supporting the Chiefs, but you can't say that the dumb guys that are mad at Taylor for no reason, which I don't agree with, is the same as a hometown boy rooting for his hometown team. False equivalency.
They just made a Barry Sanders doc on Amazon Prime. Really good, by the way.
I believe it. Poor guy. Bye, Barry. Spends his whole career with a shit team, and what a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been seeing posts talking about giving him a 1-day contract if they make it to the Super Bowl, so he can run for one down and get a Super Bowl ring.
Kind of like the Saints the other week when they took a victory formation to take a knee and then they handed it to that guy for a touchdown from the one.
Yeah. Just do something like that with Barry. Just do something. You know what I mean? Let him run it out of bounds.
Let him line up. Yeah. If it's a blowout and they have to take a knee, put him in for the take a knee play. Yeah.
Just something, you know,
I would approve of that. He deserves it. He earns it.
He absolutely does. He was the greatest running back to ever live. He had no offensive line whatsoever, so he never even made it to a Super Bowl. It just goes to show you, man.
And he stayed with the team. He never took a trade. Yes. He never requested a trade. He never said, I'm going to go to this team. Uh-huh. Going to the Super Bowl.
All throughout his college career and stuff like that, like, he never really cared about breaking records and things like that. He was such a team-focused guy. But then, you know, the way he explained it is, he started off with the Lions and it was one team, you know, and then everybody that was good ended up just taking a fucking deal and getting traded. So it's like, well, half the guys that I was a part of a team with are now lining up against me with a different fucking helmet on the other team. You know what I mean? So it's just at that point, he didn't really feel like a sense of team with Detroit, man. It was just, but anyway, Eminem opened that doc. Eminem's on the doc, like talking about.
Oh, yeah, I wondered where the tie-in was, but yeah, it's again, the guys that are grumpy that there's a cutaway to Taylor, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for them to be grumpy.
I don't understand that.
It's a fleeting shot of her. Who cares? Good for her. But to say you can't compare the two. You cannot say, oh, it's hypocrisy. No, it's not. It's not hypocrisy. It's dumb that they're angry about Taylor, but it's not hypocritical.
It's not the same thing. It's not hypocritical because it's different situations. That said, the guys who are pissed off about them cutting to Taylor are dumb too, because as a Lions fan, if like Amon-Ra St. Brown was banging the biggest pop star in the history of music, it'd be like, yeah, dude, look at that. I'm proud of my wide receiver. Look at him.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Let's jump into some actual sort of news. Let's close out of that. Oh, this made me happy. I sent you a TikTok. I didn't send you a news story. I sent you a TikTok, but it is in the news now. The bitter cold that you and I were talking about last week, it was hitting 20, 40 below. Today, what is it right now? It was earlier. Well, it's 13 now, but when I got up, it was 5-6 below when I drove to the gym. Teslas not only are not starting, but they can't even charge. They plug the thing in to charge. And some of the people were saying that it sat there for 2-3 hours and it would go,
Jesus beep, Christ.
Beep, 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 beep. All right. I don't know if we've said this before, but, you know, like solar power, Arizona, California should be all about solar power. Teslas, sell them in the South. If you can't run a car in winter, then Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, California. Tesla should own the South. But yeah, there's no point in having a car that's going to have a dead battery after 3 hours of sitting on a charger.
Well, but charging is the main issue with those things, even before now.
If I'm on a 4-hour drive, I can't sit like, oh, I made it 3 hours. Now I've got to sit for 2 hours for it to charge and then continue on.
Well, right. I mean, normally it's like a half hour, but yeah. Even still, that's a while. I remember me and my wife were renting a vehicle to go to her place, her parents' place, for Christmas, you know, and it's maybe like a 6-hour drive, something like that. And they said, and of course it's Christmas, like Christmas in a big city like this where people tend to go away and stuff for the holidays. Yeah, it's insane taken. Getting rental cars. And they go, yeah, we don't have much. But we got you guys an electric vehicle. Now, I thought they made a hybrid at first, but then just kind of right before we go out, like as we're filling out the paperwork, I'm like, hey, when you say electric, you mean hybrid, right? You know, he's like, oh no, it's fully electric. I'm like, okay, we're driving into Pennsylvania, like deep, deep central western PA up in the mountains and shit. We're driving for at least 8 hours both ways. Or six, but either way, a long time. I'm like, is it going to make, I've never driven one of these. Is it going to make it on one charge? He's like, to get there, you're probably going to need to stop and charge it twice. That's a fucking lot, dude.
Right. A gas fill up, 5 minutes. You walk in, you take a leak, yeah. You fill up your tank, and then you're on the road. To have to sit for a half an hour at not a gas station, but a charging station. Like,
and that's if you find one that has one of those fucking things. Right. Yeah. If you don't, you will be. You'll see the little beep beep. Whatever the hell happens when a battery runs out in one of those things, and you're just going to be towed somewhere. God only knows how much it's going to cost, because they're going to have to tow you to not just a gas station, but a gas station that has one of those things, which you know, kind of up there in like rural Pennsylvania.
Well, sometimes you got to go looking for them. Like, yeah. It's mm-hmm. a gas station. Fucking every off ramp. They generally out here in the Midwest and in Pennsylvania and other, you go off and off, you hit an off ramp, the gas station, you hit the on ramp. Here, our charging stations are at gas stations. So you are not gas stations, yeah. Grocery stores. You grocery, pull off, yeah. You go looking for the grocery store, you pull in, you park. I've seen some around Panera Bread, because that's a good idea. If you want the inconvenience of having to charge, then you stop, you get a meal. But if you're like me and you drive for a living, you just want to fucking get there. If you have a 9-hour drive in front of you, you want to go, go, go. You don't want to like drive for 3 hours, charge for a half hour, drive for 3 hours, charge for a half hour. So you're right. It's bad enough, the charging long distance, but then to have it not even available for in-town driving, because that's what it should be for. It should be for anybody that has a commute, and that's it. If you have,
well, yeah, if you're just zipping around a city, they're perfect.
If you have two cars, and you have one for vacation, or like, you know, a husband, wife each have a car, and one is gas powered, or I might get a hybrid on my next one, because
hybrids are fucking great.
Yeah, my mom has a Prius. They've had it forever. They have like one of the original ones. I can get up to 50, 60 miles a gallon because once it hits the highway, it just turns over to the battery. Oh, need gas? It's right there. That's you don't need to go full electric if you have a hybrid.
You don't, but now I will say this. You know, electric cars, even being to the level they're at now in terms of, you know, market availability, was just fucking pure science fiction crazy talk even like 20 years ago. So yeah. I you know, and right now the biggest problem seems to be the charging. But look, man, even like with the iPhone, right? I'm using an old school charger that uses USB. If you're using one of the new ones that uses those Thunder drives, they charge way faster.
I do. So my phone charges, and I just got a new phone last week. And yep. Of course, to anybody out there that new phone, I got a new phone. It's another SE. I got everyone like, I did not get the iPhone 15. I got the oldest, cheapest, less than $400 model, something like that. But yeah, it now has a lightning port, or it did have a lightning port. But yeah, you have the new C charger. 15 minutes, right. Completely charged.
Yeah. So,
used to be an hour.
Yeah, it used to be a long time. They used to drain faster. They still drain pretty fast. But either way, my point being, you know, in 10 years, maybe they can figure something out in terms of how fast can we charge. Is there going to be maybe a situation where they're easy to remove these batteries at gas stations? You just flip out a fully charged one, but then they have to have a lot on hold.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. I know they can't do it now because these batteries are heavy, but it's like it used to be back in the day, Jake, in the 50s, you pull into a gas station and they'd fill you a tank for you and they'd wash your windshield.
Right.
I mean, right here, sitting to my side, this is the battery for my lawnmower. We have an electric lawnmower. We store it inside in winter because you leave it outside, it freezes. You pop it in, you pop it out. Now, I know the car battery is hundreds of pounds, but there's got to be a way to have a mechanism where it can be done in 10 minutes. Well, you pull into a gas station and four guys jump on it, and it costs you like, what does it cost to fill up a tank of gas? $30. So for $30, you swap out a battery and you get the same distance. I don't understand how that's not a thing.
Maybe the batteries get smaller. Look how thin these goddamn phones have gotten. You know what I mean?
Smaller, like, but if you have a guys that, you know, just like they do car tires in racing, you know, just take the battery out. You know, I'm not saying it needs to be a snap in like this one, because that might be jostled or in an accident fly. But yeah, you get the NASA guys that are NASCAR guys, you know.
Well, that's why
replaceable batteries.
I heard Elon Musk on an interview somewhere years ago talking about how he's giving away the patents for Tesla for free in terms of like the electric cars and stuff like that, how to make them cheap, affordable, because he wants more companies making them, because the biggest problem he has had for a long time is what do you do for road trips and stuff like that. And if he's got the only electric cars in town, then you know, there's not, if all the other car companies aren't making electric cars, you're not going to see as many of those charging ports, you know? Well, so it's about getting more of those.
Are the universal ports?
I think so.
Tesla has its own brand, but do they, because that would be shitty. If you buy a Honda, you get this port. If you buy a Toyota, you get this one. If you buy a Tesla, you get this one.
I don't think so, because that was his whole purpose of giving those patents away
so it would be universal. More
ports could get, because his product doesn't work on the road without a fuck ton of those ports. And even then, it still doesn't work great because of how long it takes to charge as of now. Now, maybe they get a little better, just like the phones did, with different types of chargers, different whatever. Maybe that gets faster in the future.
Maybe, hopefully. But as the case stands, if you live in a winter climate, maybe don't buy one or have a backup car, because
don't buy one as of now. But look, I think maybe this winter will be a learning experience for that company, and they go, okay, well, maybe we go up to Alaska and we get some techie scientist types up there and figure out what the fuck to do to keep these things from freezing, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
Or he can keep trolling people on Twitter and just say, let it all freeze. I don't know. See, this would piss me off. If I'm working at Tesla and I'm kind of one of the higher up dudes and I'm making money, I'd be like, hey, you know what would have helped maybe with this freezing issue is if we were doing more R&D here instead of fucking sending mean tweets on Twitter and losing tens of billions of dollars to call AOC a cunt. That seems like a bad investment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how that improves the battery, you trolling people and politicians.
No. In fact, now AOC's mean tweeting you for your batteries freezing. How does it feel? How does it feel? You spend tens of billions on this. You asshole. We should have warm battery. Our shit would charge in 5 minutes if, by now, if you'd have spent the money on batteries and not Twitter.
Jake, this story I sent you, I didn't care about. The only reason I sent you this next story is because the banner literally said, breaking news. Ooh, breaking news. What happened? Did the Houthis sink a ship? Did Israel and Hamas declare peace? Oh, breaking news. Emmy's ratings sink to another historic low, down 27% from 2022. Breaking news, Jake. The breaking news on the Emmy ratings. Hey, you know what maybe they could have used? A little controversy, like Joe Coy bombing. Everyone talked about how bad he did, but everybody's talking about it. Maybe the Emmys could have used a host that they didn't allow time to prepare, gave him 10 days so that felt rushed, and then people would be talking about the Emmys host instead of the Emmys ratings.
You know who's really good at bombing us? They should fucking hire us next year with no notice.
I think we should do it. We'll do it for free. We'll just show up. The only problem I would have with doing it, I mean, I would
just podcast in for 5 minutes in between every fucking award.
Is the fact that they only like, I did a roast of Iowa City once. I was called to do a roast. And so I said, ooh, a roast. I'm going to bash Iowa City. And I did. And the audience was aghast. And then the next guy got up and did very polite golf clap stuff like, hey, Iowa City, where your bartender has a philosophy degree. Oh, that's us. That's what the Emmys and the Golden Globes wants. They want a host that's going to lightly roast them, like Joe Coy did, even though they made fun of him, like, hey, this movie's so long. Yeah, it was 3 hours.
Yeah, they don't want Ricky Gervais.
Someone really busting their balls, which is what we would do if we showed up. We would just sort of pop their fucking celebrity bubbles. Yeah, you know, fantasy.
But to a point, I get it. Look, the purpose of the show is not the comedy. It's the awards.
So it's handing the awards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as much as I would rather have Ricky Gervais go up there and make fun of Hollywood for being friends with rapists and pedophiles and then getting all fucking sanctimonious. I love that he does that, but that's not what they're for.
Yeah. No, they want to be praised and told how good they are and how virtuous they are for taking the right stance on politics and climate change. They want to just be told that they're good.
Yeah, and it's like, I almost don't blame them because I'm like, dude, they didn't show up to a comedy show where they give out a few pieces of fucking gold little statues. They showed up to a gold little statue show where someone's telling jokes at them. Like, yeah, you know, I've been at ambush shows before, and if anything, I sort of get annoyed at the comics that really fucking go at the crowd hard at ambush shows. Cause I'm like, bro, the crowd didn't land on your comedy show. Your comedy show landed on the crowd. They were just here to fucking drink and talk to each other. And now you're up here talking about your dick into a microphone.
For anybody that's accidentally tuning in, an ambush show is, say, a comedian talks a bar into having a comedy night, and the bar goes, that's a good idea, why not? Except they don't tell their customers a busy fucking night
when there's a bunch of people there anyway.
Right, they don't tell their customers that it's a comedy show. So at some point, they just do like, people get up with a microphone and start talking, and anybody that was there because they just go to that bar is like, why is this asshole talking about his dick? And then what you just said, if the comic's like, the fuck is wrong with you? Look at this fucking, you know, like if they go at the audience, it's not the audience's fault. They were just there. They had no idea it was a comedy night.
Right. And there's plenty of bars that can put on a good comedy show, man. You just got to promote it. And B, it's better if you have like a back room, a little side area with a stage and shit. Like
you sell
like,
tickets.
It can work, you know?
If you tell people, hey, you got it. Once they're invested, like you've spent $5 to watch this show, as opposed to you just turn the TVs off and like, now this guy's going to talk. So that's what an ambush show is to anybody that didn't know.
Yeah. Bane of my existence.
We talked about this.
It was like a pretentious version of that. Every award show is a pretentious fucking ambush show in front of Hollywood people.
We talked about this years ago, and I love it. I find it fascinating how wherever you live, your country is number one and everyone else is the enemy. Foreigners are leaving China because It sort of says it in the article, but it does say it in the article. Years ago, when COVID hit, when the coronavirus started expanding, China started saying, "Oh, it was foreigners that came here and left their COVID in our city, and so it's not our fault. Foreigners brought COVID to China." Everyone thinks it's the epicenter of the virus, but it's because foreigners are leaving China because in China, some people still believe, like, ooh, they see a white face and they're like, oh, that's the guy that brought COVID here. It's amazing. It is amazing. Wherever you are, the government, the news, the powers that be will find a way to blame outside sources. And I just found that insane, you know. So if you're writing a British PE teacher, multiple factors play a decision, but they've become less than welcoming.
I mean, you can't be too shocked that China doesn't like immigrants. I mean, they were the country that really coined the term "build that wall." They built that great fucking wall. They didn't just have some orange asshole talk about it. They did it. They really built one of those fucking things, you know?
They did. Here's my favorite
part. Shit out of that wall.
Here's my favorite part of this article.
They built a wall that can be seen from space. Fucking dude, that is a country that wants to keep people out.
You can't see it from space. That's it's a lie.
How dare you? I've been to space several times.
I want to, I'm Googling something, so you keep.
My wife used to teach English to people in China, like to kids, over the internet. And it was a Chinese run company, but that company went away because the Chinese government a few years ago was like, you know what? We don't want any filthy goddamn foreigners teaching our kids foreign languages. We only want people in China teaching our kids foreign languages. So
that's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's dude. You think Trump is xenophobic? These people were like, we're tired of foreign languages being taught to our kids by goddamn foreigners. They were done.
You know what? I actually have started doing this. I get a spam email every other day. I get, because of my YouTube channel, they're like, they want to do product placement. And I respond to these with, hey, I'm not interested in your product, but I will help you write copy for the emails you send out because you speak better English than I speak Mandarin, but your English also sucks. So if you send me this first draft, I can make it legible and then you can send that out. Nobody takes me up on it. But the idea that they just want to teach themselves, it doesn't work. You need the native English speaker to teach the English, which is why I'm offering. But this is what I looked at.
I did. Yes, absolutely. Because I did take a couple semesters of Japanese in junior high. But it was being taught to me by another pasty-faced Iowa person. So there, I didn't learn shit. It was just like, hey, domo arigato, y'all. What's up? You know, and it was just ichi ni san shi. Like it didn't. I'm like, I'm learning nothing here.
Yeah. The thing I looked up, they did Shanghai. In the decade leading up, the number fell by more than 20% to 164,000 people, 164,000 foreigners living in Shanghai. You know what the population is, Jake? 26.32 million.
So dude, Chinese cities don't fuck around. They're huge.
No, but I'm saying, how is this a news story? How is this a story? The idea that foreigners are leaving. There weren't that many there to begin with.
If you're
talking about 160,000 foreigners in a city of 26 million, this is not news. We know that they're not welcome. We know that China is, it's tough to get a tourist visa there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's run by the Communist Party. I mean, they're going to, and they heavily censor everything. So they don't, it's not a place that's going to censor all the media to, we don't want something that our national party doesn't like. It's not going to be welcome to outside people or views or anything. So yeah, that it's not a culture that lends itself well to immigration.
Yeah. And it's why it's a culture that's endured forever. So the world is a different place. I'm not even shitting on it. It's like America's the melting pot.
No. But it's not. That's a culture. That's more because of like communism and stuff, man. Like they used to be, in terms of like like Chinese empires and stuff, they were pretty good at absorbing other cultures and stuff.
Yeah, that's
why
true.
They were so big. That's why they were around for so long.
Yeah, they kept expanding. They I read something once, or I was at a museum, and it showed the Chinese expansion and contraction. And when they absorbed the other areas, it was sort of like everybody falls in line for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. I'm listening to a podcast right now about the later era of Vikings, and it's actually pretty interesting, man, because you had these Viking like sort of nation states that were taking things over for a while, and what the Christian empires did was they started converting these rulers, but not in the sense of like, no, this, read the book, he's the one true God. Like it was the least spiritual conversion. It was like, it was sort of like joining the UN. It was like, hey man, if you convert to Christianity, the other Christian nations will have your back against any of these two other, you know, warring Viking tribes or nation states or whatever that you're fighting against. All these other Christian nations have your back, and Christian nations respect like kingship bloodlines. You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, the Vikings would have like tribes that had chieftains, but in terms of those guys tended to give their loyalty just to like one king. And once that guy died, it was sort of like the Dothrakis in Game of Thrones. You know
kinda
what I
like
mean?
Kind of like a drug dealer going down. Everybody fights for the top spot.
Yeah. No one goes like, yo, he's passing the gang down to his son, yo. Like, it's not really a thing. Yeah. And so it's
they create lineage is what you're saying. If you join, we'll set lineage in place.
It was a way to secure their empires for their children and to secure their borders against other Viking groups, because they're like, I can call upon all these Christian states and they'll send people. It's sort of like NATO or the UN or something. It was the least spiritual reason to convert like a whole bunch of whole countries slowly over time. But the Chinese used to do the same thing. And he mentioned what China would do to, you know, like steppe tribes that they were having problems with, is if they couldn't just all out defeat them in war, they would do what they referred to as cooking them, just making them a little bit more like them. They would kind of absorb them into there. And then it was like, well, now if we go to war later, we're going to be dealing with people that are more like us. And so we'll be able to kind of negotiate more and cut deals and intermarry, you know what I mean? The royal families and things like that. It was pretty interesting, man. So, if anything, it was kind of the opposite of like what it's like now under, like a communist party.
You ever listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History?
I was just talking about Dan Carlin. That was the one I was talking about.
Oh, that's what you're talking about? Yeah. He has interesting shit whenever I listen to him.
What's the name of this one? It's some weird name, dude. It's some Viking name, because I'm in the middle of listening to part two on this one. The Light of Asir 2. Yeah.
You should listen to his one on Antibaptists in Germany. That was really good.
That one was great. Was that the one where they
took over a city and so they surrounded this and like to,
It was so funny. You know what that reminded me of was, not to keep bringing up Game of Thrones with this shit, but you remember in the second to last season how there was those monks that like took
Never
over the
it.
Capital and everything? Oh,
Never
it's so fucking good.
I was waiting until it finished and then everybody said not to because you get so invested and then the final season takes such a shit.
Yeah, but if you know that going in, you won't mind.
That's true.
Your standards are going to be way lower. So I'm going through the same thing with Yellowstone right now. And like, I don't care that the plot's fucking ludicrous by the time I'm in season 5. Like, it's just so all over the place.
Right.
The daughter who I really liked, did you watch Yellowstone?
No, my wife does. So I picked up a little of it in the background, but she watches the shit out of it.
Oh, fuck, man. There's a plot point that happens like earlier than where I'm at now, but it's still ridiculous. And the plot points with her just get nuts.
Is she the one that was in Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law? That's who the
daughter. I never saw that one. But her older brother is taking her when they're teenagers. They do a flashback. He's taking her to get an abortion because the family all wears cowboy hats and they don't like that shit around here. And so he's taking her to secretly get an abortion, but he does it on a Native American reservation. And the brother goes in and talks to them first while she waits in the truck. Why is she waiting in the truck? I don't know. Seems like she'd want to go in there and have a chat about this. But either way, lady tells the brother, we can give her one here, but she doesn't want to get it here because legally, we have to sterilize anyone that gets an abortion here. This is the 1990s. This is not the 1890s. This is not, I get that they used to do shit like that, but this was under the Clinton administration. There wasn't, right. Bill Clinton wasn't going to just sterilize them all, Hillary. Let's get rid of them once and for all. The planes could be ours. Like, that wasn't happening, right. Under Clinton. Like, so then he's like, okay, I understand. So he goes out to the truck to bring her in, and you're like, oh, he didn't tell her. I'm like, they wouldn't have had that chat with the girl. They just gave a hysterectomy to a 15-year-old without telling her what this is. They just watched the brother bring her in the truck. Hey, you told your sister what I told you about the hysterectomy. Oh, okay, great. I'll get the anesthesia. Like, they just did it. It's the most ludicrous fucking plot point. She ends up blackmailing him later with a picture that she takes of him with a dead guy. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're going to wonder who took that picture. It's not as simple as just turning it. Like, what's the Latin word for this? I think Dan Carlin mentioned it. An accomplice. You're an accomplice at this point. Like, you can't use this as blackmail. They're going to wonder how they're going to look into it. You can't just, I don't know, I found it on a truck seat. No,
what were you doing while taking the picture and not calling the cops?
Yeah, you can't give this 6 months later. They're going to drag it to your phone. And they're going to be like, what were you doing out on that bizarre cliff in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming? Holy fuck, there's 18 other bodies down there from previous seasons. Like, it just doesn't, there's so many fucking plot holes in this by where I'm at. But I knew they were coming. If somebody's like, hey, man, we're hitting turbulence, I don't really care when the plane's bumping around because the pilot said something. If the pilot's just like, we're going to be on the ground in a half an hour. Like, now I'm like, whoa, yeah. What was that? That kind of fucking sucked, huh? My juice box is all over my pants now.
I didn't get a heads up with another Taylor Sheridan show, The Mayor of Kingstown. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
First season's great. First season's fantastic. And the first season ends in a way like, you know, we don't know if we're getting a second season, so we'll just sort of put a cap on it. Like, it could just be done. But then they got a second season. And I think my wife and I watched the first two episodes, and it was just sort of scattershot. Like, well, we didn't expect to get this far, so we're just going to do this. And you're like, that character could just be gone. You don't need to have that character do the dumbest thing possible and go back to this person when it could just be, because it just invented drama. Like,
it's a drama show.
What's that?
So it doesn't make sense, man. With drama shows series, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's a whole big story, the season, or sometimes two are written together, like whatever. But usually it's like they'll write the story for a season, and then it goes good, and they throw a bunch of money at them, and they're like, hey, can you keep that? Can you do more of that?
Keep it going?
Like, oh, yeah. You mean the story that I made with the beginning, a middle, and an end?
Yep.
It's over. Half the characters may not even be alive anymore. Fuck it. Yeah. Now they all got twin brothers or whatever. And so they got to keep some story going that is ended, and it just ends up getting ridiculous. Either
that's what happened here is,
or B gets so over the top that it's insane.
We got to go. We're out of time. But yeah, one of the characters that could have just been gone, they had them do the dumbest thing possible just for the sake of keeping them. I'm just like, I don't feel like watching it now.
You're Kathy Bates in Misery. He didn't get out of the cock of duty car.
We're getting cut off. Find Jake at Jake Vevra on all social media. Twisted Cupid live every Thursday on YouTube. You can find me at NathanTimmel.com. We didn't get any shitty comments this week, Jake. Pro-Trumpers didn't hate on us. So maybe next week.
Swifties are dumber than season 5 of Yellowstone.
Now we're going to get comments. Thanks for watching.
Later.